I thank everyone for so kindly participating in tonight's auspicious event. My special thanks to Snan Yatra Prabhu and Julan Yatra Mataji for so kindly opening the doors of their hearts and their home for all of us. Thank you. There is a beautiful story about Lord Chaitanya, which I would like to share. It is a very simple historical narration, which reveals a very sacred teaching for all of our lives. Lord Chaitanya was incarnation of God, or Krishna, who appeared according to the prophecy of the Holy Scriptures just 500 years ago. It is described in the Srimad Bhagavatam over 5,000 years ago. Krishna Varnam Tvisa Krishnam Sangopanga Shaparashadam Yagyai Sankirtana Puraya Jantihi Shumedasham. That the Supreme Lord will descend in this age of Kali with a beautiful golden complexion. Through distributing the congregational chanting of the holy names, he will give the world the opportunity to attain the highest realm of spiritual love. And those who have good intelligence will take this opportunity very seriously. Lord Chaitanya, who is Krishna himself, appeared in the guise of a devotee. This is also prophesized in the holy scriptures. Why did he do so? Krishna spoke Bhagavad Gita, in which he concluded, Sarva dharman parityajya mam ekam sharanam vraja aham tvam sarva papebhyo mokshayi satyamasacha. That the essence, the perfection of life is to surrender our hearts to the Supreme, to Krishna. After Krishna explained very, very scientifically the nature of the soul is the animating source of all life. The body is compared to a chariot. The senses are like the horses of the chariot. The mind are like the reins that are meant to control the senses of the horses. The intelligence is compared to the charioteer. And it is the jivatma, the soul, that is the personality who is actually riding within this chariot. So Bhagavad Gita is teaching us the proper intelligence of who we are, where we are coming from, where we may go according to our activities. Bhagavad Gita describes that the soul is eternal, full of knowledge and full of bliss. Na jayate mriyate vakadachi na hanyate hanyamane sarire. It does not die when the body dies. This means that what is death actually? It is like a change of clothes for the eternal soul. According to our activities while we are in a particular body, there is the law of karma, or action and reactions. For every action, there is an equal corresponding reaction, karmically. And therefore, there are so many varieties of happiness and suffering within the world. They are karmic reactions for our past activities. And what we do today, our every word and our every action, is accounted for in the laws of karma. But the goal of life, mamupetya tukonteya punara janmana vidyate. Mamupetya tukon dukalayam ashashvatam. The goal of life, really, is to go beyond the laws of karma, to liberate the soul from the illusion that I am this body and I am connected to all the designations of this body. And actually, this is the cause of all conflict within the world today. Separate interests, because everyone is identifying with their temporary misconception. I am man, I am woman. I am black or white or red or yellow. I am Asian or American or African or Oriental. I am rich or poor, educated or uneducated. These are temporary designations. But what is the nature of the self? What is the nature of the soul? Mamaivamso jiva loke jiva bhuta sanatana. That it is part and parcel of the Supreme Soul. The Absolute Truth or God is compared to the sun planet. And every spirit soul is compared to one particle, one sun ray. Qualitatively the same as the sun planet. The sun ray gives off heat and light. Similarly, the soul is like God, Satchidananda. Eternal, full of knowledge and full of bliss. But the difference is, the sun is always the origin. The ray is always an emanation. The ray is always part and parcel. So as parts and parcels of the Absolute Truth, or Krishna, our nature is to enjoy eternal bliss. That is why every living being, even the little insect, is looking for pleasure. Why? Because it is our nature to enjoy. It's an utterly unnatural condition to suffer. It's our nature to love. The nature of the soul is to love God. Krishna means the all-attractive one. One time, I was sitting in a lawn of a college campus, and I was just chanting, just like we did today. Not exactly so enthusiastic, but I was just chanting very nicely. Actually, I don't chant very nicely, but I was just chanting. And there was, a little distance away, a crowd of people, hundreds of students. They were around an evangelist, Christian preacher. And he was telling every one of them that they were going to hell. If someone was holding the hand of their girlfriend, you're going to hell. If someone was smoking cigarette, you're going to hell. So they were actually having a very, it was for them it was entertainment. So to increase the incitement of this event, they pointed to me and said, where is that Hare Krishna going? He is going to hell. So they said, well, why are you telling us? You should go tell him. He said, I will. So when he came, the whole crowd came with him. There was about 300 people in a circle around me. And I was just trying to sing nicely. And he started, you are going to hell. So I asked, dear sir, why am I going to hell? He said, you are going to hell. I said, well, where are you going? He said, I'm going to heaven. I said, well, with all respect, I'll probably be happier in hell if you're in heaven. And I asked, why? Why am I going to hell? Because you are worshiping a false god. I said, how do you know I'm worshiping a false god? He said, because Krishna is not God. I said, do you know who Krishna is? He said, yes. I said, who? A false god. I said, can I ask you something about your god? He said, yes. He said, is your god supremely beautiful? He said, yes. Is he the proprietor of everything that exists? He said, yes. Is he supremely strong? Everyone's strength is coming from him. He said, yes. Does he know everything, past, present, and future? Yes. Is he the most famous of all persons? Yes. Despite having all this, is he still always merciful to all living beings? Yes. So is your God all attractive? Yes! I said, well, the name Krishna means all attractive. That means your God is Krishna. He said, really? That's what it means? I said, yes, there's one God. He's all attractive. Krishna means all attractive. Should I tell you what he said? He said, Hare Krishna. And then he smiled. And then I gave him prasad and he took it. And then he left. And all the 300 people stayed. Because for them, that was like a championship tournament. And for the next 4 or 5 hours, all these people were just asking questions. So this nice man actually really helped us. I was sitting there with 2-3 people around me until he came. So Krishna is all attractive. He's the natural object of everyone's love. Everyone is longing to repose their loving propensity in someone. And everyone is longing to be loved. Without that, life is unfulfilling. Let me give an example. If you were to be given all the wealth on earth, all the houses, all the cars, all the money, all the property, if everything was your possession, and you could enjoy it and do anything you want with it, would you be happy? Now, what if you had everything, but you were the only person alive on the planet? Would you be satisfied? No. Because there would be no one to love, no one to be loved by. No one to reciprocate, no one to have a relation with. If a little bird came and landed on your finger, that would be the most precious thing in the whole universe for you. At least you could say something to the bird. It is the inner nature of the soul to love and be loved. What is the origin of that nature? The soul's love for God. This is the universal principle of all religion. And in essence, this is the meaning of yoga. Gita explains, Yoginam api sarvesham madgatena antaratmana shravan bhajate yomam sames yuktatmanata. That the perfection, the ultimate perfection of yoga, the conclusion, the summum bonum of all yoga, is to reunite the consciousness within us to reunite our hearts with our original source, with our original nature, which is loving service to the Supreme. And all the different rungs on the ladder of yoga are ultimately meant to bring us to that point of unconditional love of God. And without that, everything else is superficial. It cannot satisfy the heart. So Krishna explains in Gita, Sarva Dharma Parityaja. Abandon all varieties of so-called religion and just surrender to me, which is the essence, the conclusion of all true spiritual paths. And how to do so? Manmanabhava madbhakto madhyashyam namaskar. Always think of me. Become my devotee. Worship me. Offer your homage unto me. It is a simple instruction, but very difficult to follow. Living in the world with all its distractions and all of its conditionings. Therefore, the Lord is so kind that after teaching us the truths, He appears again to personally demonstrate how it's done. That is Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. Srila Prabhupada explained, just like the teacher in the school is writing on the chalkboard, this is how you make A, and this is how you make B. Actually, the teacher is going through the lessons just to show us how we should go through the lessons. Harinama, harinama, hariname, vakevalam, kalona, steva, nasteva, nasteva, gatiranyata. That in this particular age that we are living in, there's such a great benediction that the name of the Supreme Lord is empowered with all the opulences, all the sweetness, all the glory of God. The name of God is not different than God, and God has many names. And simply by chanting these holy names, we can purify our heart and awaken our natural, original consciousness. So this was Lord Chaitanya's message. We were discussing this morning in the class how Lord Chaitanya accepted sannyas. Sannyas means a swami. One who renounces family, one who renounces possessions, one who renounces the world to give his life for the welfare of all human society. That is Swami. So Lord Chaitanya accepted this vow. And one day he was traveling with some of his devotees. They were traveling to the very holy place called Jagannath Puri, which is on the ocean side of the Bay of Bengal. As he was traveling, he came into a forest. He was so enthusiastic to go to Jagannath Puri. So enthusiastic. He was just crying out, Jagannath, Jagannath, Jai Jagannath, Jai Jagannath, Jai Jagannath. And he was walking so fast because of his enthusiasm, his anticipation to get to Puri, that the other devotees just couldn't keep up with him. He went way in front of them. In this forest, he came into a small village, and there was a small gopa. Gopa means cowherd boy. That little cowherd boy was selling buttermilk, fresh buttermilk. He had a bucket of buttermilk. And he approached the Lord, saying, buttermilk, buttermilk. And the Lord was very happy. He came to the boy and said, I am very, very thirsty. Please give me some buttermilk. And the little boy handed him the pot and said, Swamiji, you can drink as much as you like. So Lord Chaitanya drank everything. He didn't leave a single drop in the pot. He gave him the empty pot back. Now, for the boy, that was his whole day's income in that pot. It was gone. So after giving the pot back to the boy, Lord Chaitanya told him, please do not go home. Please wait here. Because my companions, they're following behind me, and they will give you coins to pay for this buttermilk. So please wait here. Do not go home till they give you these coins. So the boy said, thank you. Lord Chaitanya went ahead. Would you like to hear the rest of the story? Lord Chaitanya's devotees came after. And they didn't know where Lord Chaitanya was. He was so far ahead. And they were in a forest. And there were many different paths going in different directions. So the devotees happened to see this little cowherd boy standing with an empty bucket. And they said, did you see that Swamiji, that sannyasi, which way he went? Which path did he take? Did you see him? The little boy said, oh, you are the companions of Swamiji? He said, yes. He said, he drank all my buttermilk. He told me that I wasn't allowed to go home until you gave me some coins. Now, they were very confused. They looked at each other and said, we don't have any coins. Where will we get coins? We're in the middle of the jungle. Because Lord Chaitanya, being in the renounced order of life, he would never carry any currency, and he wouldn't allow any of his devotees to do so either. Because he wanted them to completely depend on Krishna. Pretty well. So they looked at each other and they turned to the boy and said, we have no coins. And the boy said, that's all right. That's all right. He said, I'm happy that I was able to serve the lotus feet of that great sannyasi. Please carry on with your journey. After he said that, something very strange took place. He felt the bucket that was in his hand all of a sudden became so heavy that he couldn't carry it anymore. What happened? He looked down and the bucket was overbrimming with precious jewels, diamonds, emeralds, rubies. Filled up. It was a big pot, too. He became so happy that he just left the bucket there and ran to Lord Chaitanya. Lord Chaitanya was just sitting under a tree. And he ran so fast that the other devotees were left far behind. This little boy ran and ran and ran and ran and fell at Lord Chaitanya's feet. He gave his heart to Lord Chaitanya. When the devotees finally caught up, they saw this little boy, the cowherd boy, Gopa, sitting at Lord Chaitanya's feet in complete transcendental ecstasy. And Lord Chaitanya told him that Krishna has blessed you with his causeless mercy. Now you may go home. As the boy was going home, the devotee saw he was singing the holy names. He was dancing. There were tears of ecstatic love flowing from his eyes. His hairs were standing on end. He was trembling. In fact, Lord Chaitanya gave him the greatest of all treasures. The Purusharta Siromani, the crest jewel of all goals of life. Pure, unconditional, unmotivated, ecstatic love of God. Eternal, ecstatic love of God. That was the jewel Lord Chaitanya gave him. The jewels in the pot were representing the real inner jewel that the Lord bestowed upon him. People in today's society are very, some people are eager to ornament themselves with jewels. But they give no inner satisfaction to the heart. The jewel of fame, the jewel of prestige, the jewel of very, very great learning and scholarship, the jewel of renunciation, hardly eating, hardly sleeping, the jewel of money, great, great, fabulous wealth, the jewel of physical beauty, the jewel of very, very great physical strength, mental strength, the jewel of large family, even the jewel of liberation. None of these jewels that we try to ornament our lives with can give any inner satisfaction to the heart and soul. Because the soul is longing for only one jewel, the jewel of divine love of God. Every living being is part and parcel of Krishna. When you love Krishna, automatically, naturally, spontaneously, love for every living being is awakened in our heart. And we see amongst the great souls who possess this treasure, this eternal treasure house of love, that they are the compassionate well-wishers of all living beings. This is a universal principle. Lord Jesus said, do not make your treasure in this world. Because whatever treasure you attain in this world, it will be stolen by thieves, rusted, it will be corroded by rust, or it will be eaten by moths. Make your treasure in the kingdom of God. Because that treasure is not subjected to rust, moths, or thieves. And then he explained the kingdom of God is within us. We're looking outside. Birth after birth after birth, we're searching, we're groping, we're longing for that love, for that pleasure, for that inner satisfaction. But it's within our own hearts. So this chanting of the holy names of the Lord awakens that love of God. That is the great gift that Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu has come to give the world. The crest jewel of all benedictions. Any person who is serious about making wealth in this world knows that it's very important to be very intelligent in where you make your investments. Yes? Something like that? I've never been in business my whole life, but this is what I have been told, that investments are very important. I have met people who made great fortunes, and because they made the wrong investment, they lost everything. But you know, I saw people driving Rolls Royce and then they were hitchhiking. Really? Just wrong investments. So what is the most precious thing we have in our life? our time. If you lose a moment, it cannot be bought back for all the wealth in the world. Time is so precious. Time is consuming our life moment after moment after moment. It seems like only a few days ago that we were young devotees dancing around the world. Now we're getting old, yes? It seems like only yesterday. And so many people, when they become old, they think, if I could have only done it a different way. But you can't reverse time. What's done is done. So how do we invest our time? That is intelligence. To invest in those activities, in those words, in that culture in which we can achieve the real wealth, the real treasure that we are seeking. So when Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu gave the jewel of ecstatic love to this small little village boy, he taught us the lesson. If we simply please the Lord by our honest efforts, he will bestow upon us the real jewel of prema, the pure love. By chanting God's name, this consciousness is awakened. Our beloved Guru Maharaj Srila Prabhupada, how he sacrificed his life to give freely this jewel of love of God to anyone and everyone who would simply accept it. Srila Prabhupada saw the spark of the propensity to love God in every person's heart. And by whatever means was required, he tried to fan that spark. Our dear God sister, Govinda Dasi Mataji, she was with Prabhupada in the very, very early days. She saw, even he was over 70 years old, his health was not very good, but still he was giving every particle of his energy to serving others, to uplifting others. He was very small in size. He was old. When he came to America, he had no money. He had 40 rupees. But who wants rupees in America? In 1965, there was no place in all of America that you could exchange a rupee. In fact, years later, when he went back to India, he still had the same 40 rupees. So literally, he had nothing. And he was coming to the wealthiest country in the entire world. And the wealthiest city, New York. And the wealthiest part of New York, Manhattan. And he looked around and saw poverty everywhere. Even on Park Avenue, he saw nothing but poverty. Because people had big, big cars, and wonderful homes, and beautiful dress, and they were buying anything they wanted to buy. But in their hearts, there was loneliness. In their hearts, there was no inner wealth. There was no love for God. And here is this penniless old man, by material standards, who's giving his life to try to somehow or other give these people charity. Love of God through the chanting of the holy names. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna,
Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare.
Thank you very much. Would anyone like to ask any questions? Yes, please. Could you speak a little louder, please? How do we know that Krishna is all attractive? There's many ways you could know. One is, if you learn to chant his holy names nicely, then you will experience. You will experience Krishna. Little by little by little, we experience the all-attractive beauty of Krishna. The all-attractive love and mercy of Krishna. But in order to follow this process of chanting the names and living in harmony with Krishna, we must have faith. And where does that faith come from? In the holy scriptures it is declared that the supreme absolute truth or God is all attractive. Therefore he is Krishna. And we see throughout the ages great saintly persons who are called acharyas, persons who have truly perfected the process of yoga. What is their life? Their lives are lives of compassion, of intoxicated with love of God. People who live in this world and are indifferent to prestige, fame, and all sorts of other sensual desires. They're self-satisfied. They're compassionate instruments of God's will in this world. And they're telling us. They're telling us what they're experiencing, which is exactly in harmony with the scriptures. When we met Srila Prabhupada, or when we meet a true saintly person, we see this person is extraordinary. What is their love for God? What is their love for humanity? Throughout history, the greatest saintly persons of all various religions are people who had awakened that love. And they tell us that God is all attractive. So through the scriptures, through the lives of the great saints, through logic and philosophy, we can understand the all-attractive nature of God with our intelligence. And with the faith that comes through that intelligence, we begin to practice the principles of bhakti or devotion. And then gradually, as Krishna reveals within our heart, we can directly experience the all-attractive nature of Krishna.
Is Krishna the only all-attractive?
Excuse me?
Is Krishna the only all-attractive? Is there another God?
Is there another God? There is one God. But that one God has inconceivable transcendental potencies. And that one God has expanded in various forms, in various ways, according to different times, places, and circumstances. And every living being is part of that God. Every living being is attractive because we are part of the all-attractive.
So that means it's not just Krishna. In other time, being also has another God because it is the same God.
Same God, but that God may have different names. That is there, yes. What? Who was Moses talking about? Who was Moses getting Ten Commandments from? It was God. That is an aspect of Krishna. Yes? Jesus said, I am this. Jesus prayed to the Father in heaven. Who is that Father? Krishna. The Prophet Muhammad talked about the Almighty, All-Powerful Allah. That is an aspect of Krishna. In the Vedic literatures, all these various aspects are described philosophically and historically. But the full-fledged understanding of that God or absolute truth is Krishna, the all-attractive one. So all genuine religions are worshipping Krishna. They may call by different names. Yes. Christ is an English word. The actual word is Krishna. Krishna and Krishna are actually one and the same. Jesus of the Christ. Christ means God. Jesus was the Son. So when Jesus Christ said, he quoted the great commandment of the Hebrews to love God with all your heart, all your mind, and all your soul. And to love your neighbor as yourself. If you love God, you will love everyone in connection to God. That is the universal principle of all religions. In the Vedic literatures, it gives very, very deep, profound information about that God. How that Lord is all attractive. The wonderful activities in the spiritual world. Various religions talk about this spiritual world, but the Vedic literatures describe in great, great, abundant detail the nature of the spiritual world. The relationships of the spiritual world. The lila, or the activities of the spiritual world. So there is no conflict. Does that answer your question? Thank you. Is there any other questions?
Maharaj, you said you were getting old, but aren't you just middle-aged?
Mataji, even the four-year-old child's becoming five, so everyone's getting old. Yes.
Thank you.
That is Krishna's promise. Sarva dharmam paritya cha mam ekam sharanam braja aham tvam sarva papevyo mokshaye shamimasu cha. If we surrender to Krishna, he will relieve us of all sinful reactions. But he doesn't have to take it. He just removes it. And how he removes it, that is his inconceivable will. But he frees us of all sinful reactions. And to the degree we surrender to Krishna, to that degree we will be relieved of all these reactions. And the spiritual master is representing Krishna to teach us how to be free from all of these reactions, karmic reactions. Srila Prabhupada taught us, the spiritual master doesn't mind physical and mental sufferings. What hurts the spiritual master the most is when the disciple is not progressing on the spiritual path. because he's living for us. Spiritual master doesn't mind taking karmas. How he takes it and how Krishna takes it, that is a divine subject matter. But what he's really concerned with is, are we progressing on the path of pure love of God? And if he sees that we are, everything's worthwhile. And if he sees that we're not, out of compassion, that pains his or her heart. That is Vaishnava. Paradukha Dukhi. A great personality, the pain of a great personality is to see other people suffering. Prahlad Maharaj, he was offered any benediction from the Lord. Anything. And do you know what he asked for? He said, if I ask anything from you, I'm not a devotee. I'm just a businessman. I'm giving you my life and I'm expecting something in return. That's business. That's not love. I do not want anything from you. I just want to serve you. I just want to remember you always. And the Lord said, but it will make me happy if you ask for something. So ask for something. So he asked for two things. The first thing he asked for was, my father, he tried to murder me in so many ways and he's murdered so many other people. Please give him liberation. And the second thing he asked for, as long as people are forgetting you in this world, as long as people are trying to be happy without devotion to you, let me continue to take birth in this world to enlighten them. That is Paradukha Dukhi. And it is that compassion that actually brings fulfillment to the heart. Selfish desires just agitate the heart. In fact, Prahlad Maharaj himself explained that satisfying our temporary material desires is like scratching an itch. Do you have poison ivy in California? You do. Huh? That's also similar. Have any of you ever had poison ivy or poison oak? Or an itching rash? When you have a rash, an itching rash, you want to scratch it. That rash is just calling out, scratch me, scratch me, scratch me. And if you don't itch it, what is that? Really, it has a language that the mind can understand. That rash is just screaming, scratch me, scratch me. And then you scratch, and it feels so good. It's just, it really feels good. There's nothing, there's no gratification like scratching an itch. Have any of you had that experience? While you're scratching it, it just feels so good. It's really the relief of it's being relieved feels good. But what's happening while you're scratching? It's getting redder and redder. And it's becoming more inflamed with this itchiness. And then when you stop scratching, it's worse than ever. I have seen parents, I've seen doctors, where they actually tie children's hands, little children, so that they don't scratch their itch. So Prahlad Maharaj explains all the passions of this world and all the desire and all our efforts to fulfill them is like scratching the itch. Yes, there's satisfaction, but in the end, we want more, we want more, we want more. Bhagavad Gita explains that passion, kama, is like fire. The more fuel you put on fire, the bigger, hungrier it becomes. But what do? We need pleasure. We find it where pleasure really is. The positive alternative, Srila Prabhupada explained. Krishna consciousness doesn't mean to simply renounce pleasure. It means to direct our energies to that place where there's real pleasure. Is there any other questions? What is the time now? 8:22. Should we have more questions or should we have kirtan? Shakuntala Devi, should we have kirtan or more questions?
Well, I had a question for you, Maharaj.
Please.
I wanted to invite you to my house for Thanksgiving tomorrow.
Thank you very much.
So, since I asked one more question, maybe we can have kirtan.
All right. But I was invited somewhere else. Thank you very much. But you're invited to where we're going.
I have a gang, a gaggle of family members. So.
Oh, yes.
Huge pack.
How is your father?
Very good.
And how is your brothers?
Very good. They're all cooking for our festivities tomorrow.
And how are you?
Very good.
Thank you. Yes, one more question then.
Maharaj, what have you been doing with your life? You travel and stay in India for a few months and then you go.
She's asking, what do I do with my life? What you see me doing tonight is what I do. I live in India about 8 months, 7 to 8 months of year I'm in India, and I travel in Europe and America for about 4 to 5 months. And I just try to serve nice people like you wherever I go. You're welcome. Hari Bol. Yes.
If there's only one God, that is the true God, but just came to this world, the human form spirit,
human
form, then what is the difference of chanting Hare Krishna or just praying rosary?
Praying rosary? Is that what you said? If it is done sincerely, with the proper devotional attitude, then they are both ways of approaching God. The chanting of Hare Krishna especially gives us entrance into Krishna's, the Lord's eternal pastimes in the spiritual world. But we accept that all the names of God, authorized names of God revealed in the Holy Scriptures, are none different than God. They are pure. So please, if you are a Christian, carry on chanting on your rosary, but do it with devotion. Do it not asking for the temporary things of this world, but do it asking for that great treasure. And if you like, you could come and chant Hare Krishna with us also. So now we will chant Hare Krishna. Thank you very much.